Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." I've mentioned before, because this phrase is common in the readings that we preach at for funerals, that I now, as an adult, get what my parents meant when they said, "I wish I could just get 5 minutes' peace." Now, in a house with 9 children, which was the most of the 17 of us that were ever together at one time, the idea of a few moments away from chaos and noise is easy to grasp. Even with 2 kids, it was a huge relief when I could take a little time at the end of the day when they were settled in bed to eat, to breathe, to read, to sleep, and maybe even to watch some television that didn't involve nursery rhymes or creepy purple dinosaurs. But of course, peace is so much more than just an absence of noise and activity. It's more than a relief from busyness and distraction. And peace is a repeated statement in our Gospels and in the wider scriptures of our traditions. In today's reading, it's more than just, "Chill out, guys," that Jesus anticipates the fear that they will be feeling when they see him in this post-resurrection appearance. As my friend Sabina constantly reminds me, there are no throwaway comments. And these carefully constructed accounts of the post-resurrection appearance in the Jesus story are no exception. This phrase, "Peace be with you," is found in Luke's account of Jesus' resurrection appearance and in the more mystical gospel, John's gospel, where it goes hand in hand with the Holy Spirit being breathed upon the disciples, something that Luke saves for the dramatic account of Pentecost in Luke Part 2, the Acts of the Apostles. Peace be with you. It's a charged comment. It's not just about quietness or quietude. It's a disturbing, transforming, justice-seeking, inclusive, demanding, and hopeful peace. On Easter Day, I preached about the way that our alleluias sometimes get closed down, and our alleluia that we proclaim in resurrection is about joy, yes, it's about celebration, yes, but it's also about defiance and action. That's a part of the peace of God. It's knowing ourselves loved and seeking God's life for ourselves and for all. Peace be with you is not a throwaway comment. The gospel reading this week, in fact, the gospel readings in the series that follow Easter and continue over the coming weeks, are concerned with what happens when people meet the risen Jesus. In our readings throughout the year, and in particular in these post-Easter weeks, we see people transformed, changed by their encounters with Christ. We hear about the effect that meeting the risen Christ had on people, and we're challenged in our readings to consider what it means for us to be transformed by our encounter with Christ, as we consider the resurrection appearances in Scripture and our shared encounters in worship. The one thing that's certain in the witness of Scriptures is that everyone who met Jesus before and after the cross and the empty tomb and beyond was changed. Nobody came away from an encounter with Jesus untouched. Jesus healed, challenged, blessed, restored, loved, taught. In all these ways and more, Jesus touched people and changed with that touch, metaphorically and literally. Today's story begins with those telling words. Jesus appeared among his disciples and says, "Peace be with you." It's the words that will often introduce the peace that we share as part of our services. But despite the familiarity of those words to us, think about how that must have sounded to that group of disciples gathered there in the upper room, following the events of Good Friday, their confusion and their pain, the rumors of Jesus' reappearance, they must have been in turmoil, filled with confusion and bewilderment. And Jesus speaks into that situation with the words they needed to hear. Peace. It's both a blessing and a greeting. It's a promise and a command. Their response is understandable. Terror. They thought they were seeing a ghost. After all, they had seen Jesus tortured, crucified, and buried. They thought he was gone. So Jesus does something ordinary and everyday to reassure them. He sits in our account for today and eats with them. By showing that solidity, meeting with them where they were, offering a simple reassurance of his presence as the foundation for that peace which he calls them to. But with that comfort comes a commission. Go and preach the good news. The peace of Christ is two-edged, comforting and challenging, as Christ so often is when encountered in Scripture, in prayer, and in worship. For the disciples, this meeting with the risen Christ changes them, transforms them completely, filling them with new life and hope. But then it challenges them to continue the work that Christ had begun, of living and declaring the reign, the being of God. It takes them from fear, from hiding away in the upper room, despondent, to being those who will change the world through their message and the way they live their lives. This is more than a simple change. It's a change to the whole nature of the world. Death has been defeated. God's love is stronger than any force in the universe. Those who meet Jesus now are not just influenced by him, they're utterly transformed. And this should be the result of our encounter with Christ. The church, this church and every church, is a place where the community of Christ's followers meet to share the life of Christ. We encounter the peace of the risen Christ in our worship, in the bread and wine of this Holy Eucharist, and even, says Scripture, in one another. And the challenge is to allow ourselves to be transformed in that encounter. If we are open to meeting Christ, even in unexpected people at unexpected times, we will be transformed. We are the ones who are called to be and to become people of peace. And in order that we may proclaim the gospel of healing and transformation, we need that peace of the Spirit in all we are and all we do. We are called to be and to live as people of peace. And if we want to know a little of what that means, I encourage you to think about someone to whom we as a community will be saying goodbye. We will be saying farewell and Godspeed to our friend and priest, Gillian. Now, I am not really trying to make Gillian out to be St. Gillian of Quadra. But I want to encourage you to consider and remember the way in which she has carefully sought to make peace present in our community in these past couple of years. Her presence, as she stands and gathers us around the bread and wine in the Holy Communion, as she encourages us together to worship and seek the Christ of peace, but also her presence when she's working for the Primates World Relief and Development Fund, or Threshold Housing, in the wider diocese and the wider church, in her pastoral care and her preaching. All of that has proclaimed and lived peace with us and to us. And we give thanks for your ministry with us, Gillian, and wish you all the best in your ongoing journey. And we remember that example of a powerful, pragmatic, faithful, and transformative peace, which she has been an example of. Through word and example, seeking to be a peaceful presence to sharing the life of Christ with us. And for that, I am grateful. We wish you much love and peace in your continued dance of ministry. For the church of which we are a part, the church which your clergy hath called to serve and minister to and on behalf of, the church throughout the world, certainly in this country and what we call Western society, is undergoing huge change. Our society at large seems to be undergoing a great time of uncertainty and fear for the future. And into this situation comes the risen Christ and speaks peace. Again, a blessing and a command. Into this world, the risen Christ calls us to be agents of transformation and healing. But the only way that Christ can be seen is through each one of us. We are the ones with the responsibility to bring Christ to our world, to our own community here, and to the community beyond our walls, to ourselves. It's a daunting task, and on the face of it, one which is overwhelming, if not impossible. But we are reminded in our other scripture readings for today that we do not face this alone, nor do we do it just in our own strength. We do this with the strength of community and the love shared in the bonds of family, the family of Christ that is this church and the whole church. We do it when we are open to the life of the God, the Spirit of peace, working in partnership with God's Holy Spirit. A God who can do, we are reminded, infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, whose peace and power are beyond our understanding, and who promises to be with us in all that we do. We are the ones with God's help to speak Christ's peace into a world and change it. The example of Gillian and other faithful, peaceful Christians begs a question for us. Are we ready, indeed are we willing, to be transformed into those who, filled with God's Spirit, proclaim in word and deed the justice, the life, the faith, the hope, the love, the peace of Christ? Are we willing to proclaim and to be people of peace? As a church, we must ask ourselves, how are we living and sharing the peace of Christ, the gospel peace? So may God give us the grace and the power to change the world, starting with ourselves and those whom we serve in this place, by ourselves being people of Christ's peace. Thanks be to God.